Come on in, guys. Y'all can come on in. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles this morning, let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Set it right up here. Got my other stuff. There it is, right there. All right. That's good. Yes. Look at the person beside you and ask them, are you full of it? See, people are full of stuff. They're full of it. And that's just life. The question is, what am I full of? And when rubber hits the road, what comes out of me? That's the way it always is. So, this morning I want to preach on this thought. Are you full of it? So from now on, when you hear that phrase, somebody say, hey, Pastor Lott preached on that. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and let's begin at verse 3. I want to preface this by saying that when you begin in the Christian walk, there are some aspects of it that are free, enjoyable. There are parts of it that are to the extent emotional. And all of that is powerful within its own realm, although it will never produce anything. Look at the person beside you and say, it'll never produce anything. None of those things were designed to produce. They never were created to produce. They were just a filling. In fact, the Bible would say that you ought to be refilled or filled continually. Continually being filled with the Spirit. Continually being filled with love, joy, peace. Continually having these things emptied into your life. And there's a reason for this, because the third aspect is the aspect that normally we do not like. It is the aspect that Paul perfected and made so powerful, but yet in our day and time, we don't really like that model. That model, even though it produces, is not flashy. It is not flamboyant. It does not make you look like a superstar. And so therefore, we kind of, and I've even heard evangelists say, well, if Paul would have had more faith, if Paul would have done it. No, Paul did it perfectly, exactly like God wanted it done. Our problem is we want to see it done, and yet we hear about it in Africa, and we hear about it in other countries. And I love these preachers that love to get on planes and fly to Africa so they can preach to people who get it. Because they get tired of preaching to people in America who don't get it. We don't get it. Let me explain. If you go over there, they understand that, you know what, me being in a Muslim country, a Christian, this could be a bad thing. Me accepting Christ in this village could cost me my life, could cost me my family, definitely going to cost me a lot. Me accepting Christ and living for Christ is going to cause some things in my life. And because they understand that, they come into the gospel, they come into this relationship understanding that. That there is a cost, a price, or an understanding that there is a third element, not just the free gift of grace, and not just the free infilling of the Holy Spirit, and not just goosebumps ever so often. There is a reality when feet hit ground that must be learned. One of the key things that I do here at All Seasons that separates me from most pastors or preachers or churches is that we move heavy into the third element. Now, that makes us look kind of weird because, you know, we're not goosebumpy. Although we had 43 people last year join All Seasons. Put that up next to goosebumps. You can have all the goosebumps you want. Your church ain't growing. And the whole point is understanding there are certain aspects that work. few weeks ago, we had 8 baptized in prison. Some people don't go all year and can't get 8 people in their church baptized. But they know how to do it. No. They've got the first 2 down pat. But the reason both of these services will have even more people in the second service than we do this service is for one's understanding. We press hard into that third realm. The third realm is where the goody is. Look at the person beside you. It's where the goody is. Most people don't like the goody. Because the goody isn't the way we like it to work. Let me explain it. Verse 3. Now, this is the Bible, so it may be contrary to you, but this is the Bible. Verse 3 of chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid from them that are what? That are lost. That's the whole point. We have people that are lost, and we are trying to reach lost people. We are trying to get to lost people, but we have a problem. What is it? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which do what? So we've got a problem. We've got a gospel that we've got to preach, to carry to the world. We want to see people saved, and we want to see lives transformed, and we want to see people go to heaven, and we want to see all these things, and it's exciting, but we have a problem. The God of this world, look at the person beside you and say, this is His world. And if you don't grasp that, you're gonna get too much messed up. Because none of this stuff is our world. We are but a vapor. We're a traveler passing through. We're not collecting stuff. We are not of this world. We are aliens of this world. Our concept is to go into it, collect all the good that we can, and the only good we're looking for is someone who's lost. And to take them with us to the other side. That's the only concept. It's the only job. It's the only thing we have in our minds. Because the God of this world will get His world. In fact, we read in Revelations, He'll get 3.5 years, almost 7 years of His world before God finally says, I'm fixing to set fire to this world, and I'm fixing to let it all pass away, and I'm going to bring a new Jerusalem, and I'm going to bring my world back down with my people and my children, and then we're going to reestablish it. Is anybody excited about that one? See, that's my world. This is not my world. This is not where I belong. This is not what I get attached to. This is just simply passing through, doing the work until I get home. Now here we get into a little bit of problems. We're going to have to jump past 1 and 2 phase, and let's go right into phase 3, because Paul understands phase 3 is what causes us to win these kind of battles. Look at it. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this what? We have this treasure, not that we are a treasure, but we have this treasure. Not that we are it, but we have it. Not that we are the thing, but we have the thing. And because of that, here we are but vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who? God, and not of us. So here's our problem. We have a society that wants to be it. Now, I ain't talking about our society outside the church. I'm talking about turn on your TV. They want to be it. They want it to be about them and everybody pleasing them and everybody kissing their feet and everybody doing for them. And it creates an atmosphere where you think, man, they've got it. No, they don't have anywhere near it. Because you will see it because eventually the tax collectors will come and find out, oh, by the way, they've been embezzling for 5 years. They own 6 houses and been milking 3 churches. Man, ain't nothing you ain't read, is it? They've been having homosexual relationships for 10 years with, quote, their masseuse. Because as soon as we start to think we're it, it's about us, we can't have a harvest. You don't have a harvest anymore. You stop actually impacting. You stop actually changing the city in which you're living in. You actually change from not affecting the schools and affecting, because when you become it, it's too quick to find something wrong with you. Doesn't take but a second. A few meals and hanging out and You can quickly do that, and if you hang out with me very long, it won't take that long. Because we're not it. Let's move now. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are what? Troubled on every side. Now that's strange. That ain't usually what I hear preached. We're looking for what? The easy spot. I mean, we don't want it uncomfortable. God, please. If it ain't easy, it ain't right. Don't get stuck in level 1 and level 2. Grow some hair on your legs and get up to level 3. I like that phrase. Grow some hair on your legs. If you're ladies, grow hair and then shave it off. But we are troubled on every side, but yet not what? Distressed. We are perplexed, but not what? We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not always bearing about in what? Our bodies, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. God says, I have a plan. Here's how I'm going to win the world. I'm going to crush you. But don't worry, because what I want to put inside of you will cause the world to come to me. That don't make sense. But it works. Always bearing about in the body. Verse 11. For we which are always delivered unto what? To death. For Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh where? In us. But life works in. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the what? The glory of God. If which cause we do what? Faint not. Look at the person beside you and say, don't faint. Don't faint. But though your outward body perish, look at the person beside you and say, it may hurt on your outside. I told you you're not going to like this. It's only the Word of God. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, it's funny because we like to pull this one little scripture out. But now that we've read about 10 other ones in front of it, let's put this scripture in context now. For which cause, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of, let me get this in my head. Anybody got this yet? Here I am. I am the can. This is a garbage can. It is a earthen made vessel. Paul said, you know what? There have been many times I have been beaten with rods. Tore slap up. There were times that I've been whipped, shipwrecked. There's times I've been ridiculed, tore down, talked about, upset, all mad, da-da-da-da-da. I've had all types of conflict. Everybody ever been there? Anybody ever talk about you? Look at the person beside them, grow hair on your legs. Grow up. Quit being a baby. Grow up. This is the way mature Christians do it. We take it. And we are serving every day. It's our job. But brother Lai, you don't know what they said. I don't care how they said it. It was ugly. Probably hurt worse than that. Probably you don't even know half what this didn't say to your face. How much more you want? Well, that ain't pretty. That ain't going to look good. Serving doesn't. Serving others. And when I say serving, that does not mean serving the one above you. That's not serving. That's called kissing rear end. Serving must be done to the person below you. That's the only serving. So you're either kissing. That's right. That's biblical, isn't it? And that's so simple. I'm going to preach that one day on TV. Serving means I find somebody below me and I love on them. And I just love on them. And even though I may get beat up, ridiculed, Paul said, I've been stoned, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beat on, I've been talked about, I've gone through all of this stuff. I mean, it's tough. Do you know what the word persecution means? The word to be persecuted literally means that the term signifies embarrassment. Look at the person beside you and say, you ever get embarrassed? How about difficulty? Ever have any difficulty? How about anxiety? Oh, Lord, my heart just took off. Ooh, Lord, I can't take no more. Good. But no, Lord, you don't understand. I can't take no more. That's good. You don't realize what my wife just said. Man, that's great. And I'll probably give her three more phrases. But you don't understand. I'm under all kind of pressure and all kind of attack. And I'm under all types of things. And God, my flesh is not liking it. And I can't sleep. And I've got anxiety. I need to quit. And all that happens is when stress comes, all it's real inside of you is what comes out. It isn't the perplexity that makes us stop. It isn't the difficulty we had stop in us. It isn't the problems that offends us. Ooh, we had offense already inside of us. We just needed somebody to pop the can. I hate people all the time tell me, Bro Lon, I just lost my temper. Oh, you had temper there all the time. You always been that way. You didn't know that? And you've always been that way. I know, bro. I lose it sometimes. No, you got lose it all up in there. That's all in you. Lose it. Quit it. Lose it. Complain about it. Go cry to somebody else about it. You got it all in you. It's just when somebody whacks you can. What comes out? Is this okay? I wasn't supposed to preach this morning, but I got preach all up in me. It don't take me 10 minutes. I preach. Paul said, listen, guys, we are your servants. But look at our lives. Look at us. We are persecuted, but not in despair. We're cast down, but not destroyed. The problem with the Western culture of Christianity is that it's all about my blessing and all about what's good for me and all about my simplicity and all about my airtime and all about we want to be the one. Well, if you want to be the one, get you a towel and go start washing feet. That's the one. Now, that's biblical because the Bible says he who's the greatest servant is also the biggest man in the room. I tell people when they come and they hang out with me and stuff, I said, look, there's one thing about it. You'll never outserve me. I'm built to serve, born to serve. I lift up everybody around me. That's my job. If you can do it better, if I can train you to do it better, if I can teach you to do it better, Kenneth preaches more revivals than I do. Kenneth, do I ever go anywhere to preach? I send you everywhere, don't I? Yeah. Yeah, I don't have to. I don't have to go pastor another place because I sent Jason to go do that. And Jason's, he's down there and he's got all me all up in him. You know what? He's preaching exactly what he was taught. It's an understanding that life is about lifting others. Now, when I'm going to get depressed and I'm going to get all wanting to quit and all, it's because it's about Because none of us like
the mindset of dying. I don't care who you are. I don't like it. I don't like it. I didn't like it when I was 15. Didn't like it when I was 8. Didn't like it when I was 23. Don't like it today. But it is the only way in which God gets the best out of you. Otherwise, He's just getting fluff. And the world sees fluff every day that doesn't change a world. That's what they see every day. They turn on the TV and see fluff. But the world is dying. Dying to see somebody who can go beyond the negative confessions and then make the positive confessions. Look at the person beside you and tell them, but there can be no positive confession without negative confession. The two cannot operate without each other. Without the negative, there cannot be a positive. Batteries won't work. You won't get shocked. Cars won't start. There has to be those polarizing things that cause it, when somebody touches it, to cause a reaction. The negative and the positive operating together. And God says the negative is your flesh. God says the negative is your flesh. All that fear, all that doubt, the stress, the pain, can't sleep, drinking milk because I got ulcers. I'm not happy. And we're thinking, that's not God. No, God gave it to you. God gave it to you. Put it all up in your life. So that He could show you more inside of you than you even know is there. More than you even can dream is there. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, there's a perfect story that illustrates this. Joshua, Caleb, and the other 10. Who were the other 10? Look at the person beside you and say, who cares? Nobody cares. Their names are listed, but it's not important. Nobody memorizes them. It's the 10. And then there's Joshua and Caleb. And here's why. It's because all of them have a negative connotation. All of them have a negative polarity. They have a negative confession that they have to make. They went into Canaan, where Moses told them to go to spy out the land and to come back and tell me what it looks like. And they did their job. They went in and they came back and they said, oh, it is absolutely gorgeous. It's flowing with milk and honey. It is beautiful. It's all this. But we can't have it. Because there's giants in the land, and they've got walled cities, and they're too big for us, and they're too mighty for us, and they're too strong for us. And you know what? Every one of those 10 were right. Every one of them were right. Because the flesh, when it saw something difficult and it experienced the stress of something hard, it wants to quit. It wants to say, I can't. It wants to say, I don't want to change the way I do things. And it wants to fight. That's natural. That's part of it. That's just the way it is. If you don't understand that, then you're going to be one of these people that start ministry, quit ministry. I got people in my church that have started more ministries than I have in 30 years. And they finish none of them. Next month they'll be wanting to start a new ministry. You know, I'm just getting kind of tired of this. I just don't feel like God. Either God is totally schizophrenic, or when He told you to do something, He meant get it done. Don't even get me on pastors. I got friends galore. First sign, first difficult thing. These people just don't, they don't understand. They don't know who I am. Oh, they know who you are. They're figuring you out. That's the problem. Now you got to live with them, and you got to eat with them, and you got to hang with them, and you got to be real with them, and you got to do all. Go find me somewhere else. And they call the state overseer, and I'm on them boards, so I get to hear all about it. So-and-so leaving the church. He won't let's find him another one. Ain't that like five already? Somebody needs to tell him to go be a Sunday school teacher somewhere, get a job. Because he's not cut out for this. This is real deal. This is, can beat to death. 42 and going white-headed. I had a picture of my dad the other day. I'm whiter-headed than my dad. Thinking, how did I deserve that? I'm not even salt and pepper much anymore. It's mostly all salt. Yeah. I'm heavily sodium now. It's just part of the deal. That's the reason I told y'all when I get to be almost 60, I'm through. People are like, oh, no, you'll keep... Yeah, I can keep coming up here and I'll preach y'all a message and tell y'all something good. But this won't be there. It can't take it anymore. Nobody messes up churches quicker than old pastors. Old pastor ain't going to take on no young lad and probably going to sit in that office and hope it goes away. Pray it through. Because you got to fight. You don't believe me? Paul said, look, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Do you think he meant lions? You think somebody threw him in there and he grabbed a switch and whooped lions? No, no. He's talking about men in the church. I have fought with beasts. I have stood my ground. I've been called short. I've been called ignorant. I've been called dumb. I've been called slow of speech. I've been called... But I tell you what, when I get there, they ain't going to like what I got to say because there's still some fire up in these old bones. But Paul knew when the body is getting weaker. And in our lives, we're going to deal with these distresses. Look, let me see if I can name some for you. How about darkness of mind? Anybody ever had to go through that? Where you just don't understand what God's doing or why He's doing it. Or it's just not comfortable. And man, I don't like this. And I can't see everything clearly. And anybody ever go through that? Yeah. I'm praying for Valerie and Brad right now, and their little girl has a diagnosis that I don't like. I'm praying. I'm still holding to it. I'm believing in the whole nine yards. But you know what? There's times when it's just not clear. I don't understand everything. I can't be so spiritual that they just don't have enough faith. No, they got plenty of faith. They got all the faith needed. God just sometimes is not clear on the design and the way. And sometimes we have to sit there and, Lord, why did you let me marry this person? And Lord, why did you put me here? And God, why did you put me in this situation? And, why? And He's like, I put you there because I don't make mistakes. And if you could see what I could see, you'd shut up. So at those moments when our minds are not clear, it's easy at that time. Don't you think Joshua and Caleb and those other 10, that wasn't quite clear. They were going to go to their land. They walk up in that land and their city is so big that two chariots can race on the top of. And here they are just walking out of a desert with the same shoes they've had on for about the last 10, 15 years. They're thinking to themselves, my goodness, we can't take on these people. You're talking about an unclear picture. God didn't say nothing about no giants. God didn't say nothing about cities like this. He didn't mention Jericho. When we were coming out of Egypt. He didn't mention all of this stuff. Yeah, I know it looks good. Yeah, there's some good things. But He didn't mention all the problems that come along with it. Then there's temptations. Or not to even mention the beatings and the ridicule. Then there's times where, people just smear things. My mom used to say badly, you say, don't worry, Tim. Whatever people say, it won't stick. I've been here 17 years. I'm still shaking stuff. See, when you give your body, give it away, that's what it's going to look like to everybody. I probably catch more ridicule from bad pastors than anybody. It ain't because I don't have a growing church. It's not because I'm not. No, they're not going to mention that. But I'm not. I don't do it right. But show me you're right with bad results, and I'll show you my wrong winning souls. See, I expect it. I deal with it. It's part of my process. It's part of what I do. To produce. Joshua and Caleb are sitting there. They tell the guys, "Guys, we can do this." They even get ridiculed by their own people. They even get mud slung on. "Y'all be quiet. Y'all don't know what y'all are talking about. You need to be quiet. We will stone all of y'all. I'm telling you, you can't go in there." And the people are all upset now. And that we can't take over Canaan. And you know what Joshua and Caleb do? They say, "Guys, grab your pitchfork. Grab whatever you got. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go." That group of people said, "No, no. No, we can't do that." It was 40 years of Joshua and Caleb like this. Can you imagine walking around, kids talking about you? "Hey, wasn't y'all them guys that went in Canaan? Hey, I guess God wasn't big enough, was He? Guess He wasn't. Otherwise, we'd be there, right?" And then all of a sudden, Moses is dead. And Joshua's the man. Caleb's the only one left of the original. What do you do then? When the can is beaten on, when fear grips you, Moses is dead, Joshua. Oh, Lord. Aaron's been gone. It's on your shoulders now, son. Don't be afraid. Meditate on my word, what? Day and night. Don't turn to the left nor to the right. Because when they beat on your can, Joshua, realize you're just a vessel. You're not it, Joshua. Do you know why they couldn't go in, Joshua? It's because they tried to figure out how they could win those battles. How they were going to take on Jericho. How they were going to whoop a giant. "Lord, Joshua, don't you know if I want a giant killed, I can do it with a slingshot? Joshua, don't you know how big I am? I can do anything. If I need a preacher, I can get a donkey to preach." I get tickled when preachers get all puffed up. God can use donkeys and roosters to bring more conviction than we can. We're just a can. It's not the can. But when the can is beaten on, and when the can is ridiculed, and when the can is talked about, and when the can has to go through stress, it's what's in the can that separates the good from the bad. If I had to ask you today, what's in your can? What you got in there? You know, when things aren't going good, what's in?
Hey.
Some of us ain't got nothing. We got a pretty can, though.
Hey.
Just don't hit that can. Now when you read 2 Corinthians, do you understand it? Paul said, and let me go back and pull those pieces so that you won't miss it. Verse 5. "And ourselves," you're what? Look at the person beside you and say, "A servant in the can." I ain't talking about self-serving. I'm talking about serving. It's serving in the can. See, that's how you win souls. verse 7. But we have this treasure in what? Look at that person and say, you know, you're not that important. Look at them real good now and tell them, but what's in you is. See, I never talk about what's in you. I never talk about what's in you. My job is to make sure what's in the can gets stressed enough so it comes out. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, anxious, fearful, embarrassed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, for sure, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. But we always do what? Always bearing in our bodies the what? Now, I like that because that doesn't go well on TV evangelism, but because you got the living body of Christ. Paul says you've got the dying body of Christ. Does yours resemble his in any way? Does it mirror his? Right? Does it look like it? Does it feel like it? Is there a load sometimes on it? And sometimes if you could sweat blood, you would. Is there sometimes you get up and it's like, God, I don't know if I can take any more. Do you bear in your body because you have a husband who isn't saved and you're bearing it? And you have to deal with it. You have a wife who won't go to church with you, and you have a family that fights. And do you bear it and understand, look, that's just the body side of my life. That's the understanding that God says, I'm going to allow the can. In fact, Jesus prayed the prayer, Lord, don't take them out of the world, but while they're in the world, make the very best. Use them for what they're called to do. As you've done for me, do also for
you don't know about a lot to deal with.
One day we'll sit down and we'll share notes. I'll swap with you any day of the week. But God won't let me. I'd be a good Sunday school teacher. I'd be the best youth pastor in the whole state or whatever state I was in. God won't let me. He says, you better get a good night's sleep, Tim. It's going to be a doozy tomorrow, son. Not for my hurt, though. So the fruit that's inside of you can spill out. You hadn't smiled until you smiled under pressure. You haven't stuck with something until you stuck with it when you ain't loved nobody until they hadn't loved you, and you still got to love them. Let's pull a few more, and I'll be through. Is this okay? Always bearing about in our body, verse 10, verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto, verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, the inward man is renewed day by day.
And I do all of that to get to this one phrase. Verse 17. Can we go there one more time? Because it's my favorite verse. Paul said, if I was going through all of this for this only, if this was all it was to it, if this was what it was about, then I would be, you know, in stress. But understand, I'm not doing this for this. I'm not doing this for just the simple fact of just having a job, or for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Today, is anyone in this room that knows what it is to be perplexed? Anybody knows what it is to stress a little? Look at the person beside you and say, have you had a bad week? Then look at them and say, what are you full of? See, that's all that's important. What are you full of? Because what you're full of is what God is either trying to reveal to you or is trying to get out of you. Sometimes the stuff that comes out, I'm like, oh, man. God said, uh-huh, I knew it was in there. I had to squeeze you to get it out. You got to get rid of it. Put some bananas in there. So in my life today, what I'm going through and what I'm facing, whether it's my husband, my wife, my kids, my job, my this, my that, just my life, I'm going through stresses and depression, then is what's in me supposed to be in me? If it is, then let it spill out.
Brother Lott, it ain't helping nothing. I mean, I'm taking it here and I'm supposed to love and do all.
Yeah.
Because this is how God saves the world. Because somebody's going to walk up to you and say, I don't see how in the world you put up with that.
And I say, by the grace of God. I need some of that, God. I don't see how you was able to deal with that child dying. It's just the grace of God. I've been there with my brother's baby. I've been there with other ones. I've been there when husbands have to say goodbye to wives. And look at me and like, why? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're crushed? What do you do when the can is hit? What do you do when somebody's set? What do you do? You do what is God given. You pour out what's on the inside. David was a master of it. That when he was pushed out of his kingdom by his own son, he would sit by a campfire and write a song. And he would say, even though I'm surrounded by mighty men, my hope is in none of them. My hope is in God alone. Why? Because it's what was inside of him. When Joshua and Caleb saw the armies and they saw the walled cities and they saw the impossibilities, that's negative. But on the other side, there's a positive. And it says, grab your pitchfork, because the God that I serve is well able to give us this land. If that's what He wants to do, there ain't no giant, and there ain't no city, and there are no armies that'll stand against us. Today I cannot change your life. All that I can tell you to do is change what's in your life. Because every one of us in here, you're full of it. You're full of something. And when you leave here today, it's going to spill out on somebody. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is the part that changes the world. This is the part that transforms a city.